Let the glory of the Lord rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the glory of the Lord rise among us. Let the praises of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the songs of the Lord rise among us. Let the joy of the King rise among us. Let it rise. Oh, let it rise. Oh, let it rise.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here this morning and coming to celebrate God's presence. We're glad to be able to be together in the house of the Lord, and I thank you for being here. If this is your first time here, there should be a connect card in the pew rack in front of you. We'd ask you to take that out, fill it out, and drop it in the offering plate and let us know that you've been here. If you have prayer concerns, put it on that same card and let us know that. We'll try to respond to it. If you're joining us via live stream, welcome. We are glad that you are here as well. You can go to the address you'll see on the screen and let us know that you have been with us, and we will try to be in responding to you as well. If you have prayer concerns, just write us and tell us, and we will try our best to respond to you. But thank you for joining us, and we are glad that you are here as well. Mike, you have an announcement or two for us.
Good morning. Am I on? In early service, they told me I didn't have my mic on. So anyway, good morning. I want to talk to you about life groups. But before I do that, I want to share another opportunity that we all have for spiritual formation every single day. Every morning, I get an email or a Facebook post from our pastor, Tommy McDerris. And I'm sure some of y'all get that same email or post. And it's a scripture, it's a devotional, it's a prayer. And it's the first thing I do every morning. And it gets my day off to a great start, thinking about spiritual things, about the things of God. And so that's an opportunity we all have for spiritual formation, and I just want to call your attention to it. Now, life groups. Every Sunday, we have 10 adult life groups that meet between our two services. They start at 9:45. There's a place for everybody and every age, but there's going to be another opportunity next Sunday. We're going to start a six-week life group called Making Space for God, and I'm going to be leading that. It's going to meet in room 216. The text is the Bible, and I'll provide all the other things, and it's going to be not only informational and experiential, but hopefully transformational. We're going to be talking about prayer, be talking about meditation, about silence, about reading the scripture, not just for information, but for transformation. So I invite you to come. You don't have to commit your life to it. It's 6 weeks. So I invite you to come and to be a part of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for the commercial on my devotional too, by the way. I appreciate that. Somebody said to me not long ago, why don't you put those in a book? And I said, because my guess is it would send 10, maybe 12 copies of it during the course of the year. So anyway, thank you for coming and being with us today. We are here to celebrate the presence and the grace of God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will invoke your spirit upon us as we come into this place. Help us to know that when we walk through the door, you're here waiting for us. When we go out the door, you'll be there with us as well. There is nowhere we can go to escape your grace, and that is such a wonderful blessing. Help us, Lord, to bask in that blessing today and to give thanks for it. Help us to worship you and worship you fully and well as we gather here today. Let everything that we think, everything we say, every prayer that we pray, every song that we sing be something that will uplift you and help you to know how much you are loved. Help us to experience you as we come here, that we might leave this place stronger and better than when we walked in. This is our prayer to you today, O Lord, for it's in your name we offer it. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best lot, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. In my darkest days, be my strength and sword, be the light of grace, shining evermore. Let my eyes see all that you have in store. Be thou my vision, be thou my vision, Lord. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only be first in my heart. I King of heaven, my treasure thou art. In my darkest days, be my strength and sword, be the light of grace, shining evermore. Let my eyes see all that you have in store. Be thou my vision, be thou my vision, Lord. Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's shores, though bright as sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O shining evermore. Let my eyes see all that you have in store. Be thou my vision, be thou my vision, Lord.
vision, be thou my vision, Lord. Be thou my vision, be thou my vision, Lord. Be thou my vision, be thou my vision, Lord. Our God, a firm foundation, our rock, the only solid ground, as nations rise and fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken, but we trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. Unmatched in all your wisdom, in love and justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. We bring our expectations, our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious. We lift our banner high. We lift the name of Jesus. From age to age you reign. Your kingdom has no end. Victorious, you are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever, forevermore. You are victorious.
You know, we often sing that He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the God of Gods. And I started thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know, we're all here because we recognize there is one true God. We are here to worship the one God. But if I'm really honest, I have a lot of little g gods in my life. You know, and you can tell what a little G God might be in your life by what you spend a lot of time thinking about, or what you spend a lot of time talking about, or what you spend your money on. My little G gods are probably things like my own comfort, the approval of others, my own plans for the future, what I think should be happening in my life or in the life of those I care about. And those things are all important. It's not wrong to think about those things, but don't make them the capital G God of your life, right? God is God over all of those things. And when those things, those little G gods, fail me, I can trust that He never will. Right? He is the giver of life, the giver of our very breath. He is the light in the darkness. He is the healer of broken hearts, and only He is worthy of our praise.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to You, Holy. You give life, You are love, You bring light to the darkness. You give hope, You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to You, will cry, these bones will sing. Great are You, Lord. All the earth will shout Your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Amen.
Be thou my vision. What if we woke up every morning and that's what we prayed? Be thou my vision, O Lord of my life, O ruler of my... I think God would answer that prayer, don't you? I think that's a prayer that he would honor. And that's why I would challenge you even this week to pray that prayer every day, during the day. Pray unceasingly, as Paul says. So I know we all come here this morning with things on our hearts and minds, those things that concern us and things about our own individual lives, our family, our community, things going on in our country and in the world. But we all come with good things, too, on our hearts and minds, ways that God has blessed us, and we certainly want to give thanks for those. So would you pray with me? Oh God, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your constant presence with us. You are our refuge. You are our strength. You are our very present help in times of trouble. And so this morning, we would claim your loving presence for those who are going through troubling times, those who are perhaps fearful and anxious today, and we would ask that you would be their gentle healer, that you would let them feel your presence beside them, that you would steady their hearts until they breathe as one with you, and remind them that nothing will be able to separate us or them from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But we also know that you are not just with us in times of trouble. You're with us at all times. You're with us in the welcome breezes of hope and love acted out in the daily dramas of our lives. You're with us in the gifts that create life and bless it and keep it. In all these signs of your resurrection, we recognize your presence. So help us to be aware of all the ways that you bring love and joy and peace into our lives. And help us, Lord, never to take it for granted, but to know that every good and perfect gift comes from you. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of this Sabbath day. We thank you for the gift of worship. We thank you for the gift of fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray that when we leave this place of worship and fellowship, that you would go with us throughout this coming week, and that you would remind us that you are indeed our refuge and strength and very present help in all things. So help us, Lord, to take time to be still, to be silent, to know that you are God. Be our vision, O Lord, for our lives. And strengthen us by your hands that we might bear witness to all we encounter during the week, to your sovereign rule in our lives as we go about seeking to do your will and follow in the ways of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we lift up this prayer and trust that you hear us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stayed within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now saved am I. Me, souls the song. Oh, faithful, loving service to Him belongs. Oh, and love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Sin, your love has lifted me from the pit. Thank you, God, your love has lifted me. Not by my strength, but by your grace, sin's not my master anymore. Hallelujah, your love has lifted me. I was a mess, lost in my sin, your love has lifted me from the pit. Thank you, God, your love has lifted me. Not by my strength, but by your grace, sin's not my master anymore. Hallelujah, your love has lifted me. Billows His will obey. Oh, He your Savior wants to be saved today. Oh, and love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Too much, when I say I'm not good enough, when I think it won't be restored, Jesus will lift me. Oh, when nothing else can help,
I appreciate the praise team stepping into that this morning. Charlotte originally had a choir piece that was planned there. We have so many of our choir members out sick, they couldn't do it. And so we've got a lot of sickness that's going through our church right now, some of it COVID and some of it other things. We have some that are out because they are dealing with family crises. Blake Gordon, who usually plays bass for us, is out with his wife because his mother-in-law is hours from passing with cancer. So be in prayer for them as well. Let's pray together as we start. Lord Jesus, let your spirit be upon us as we come to this time. There are those who are suffering from sicknesses and who are struggling with personal crises in their families or in their personal lives. Be with all of them, Lord, as we come here. Now open our hearts and our minds to you that we might not only be able to focus upon you, but that we might be able to learn from you and be transformed by what we hear. For it is in your name we offer our prayer. Amen. Back probably 15 years ago, I attended a conference in Chicago that was led by Dr. Lyle Schaller. Lyle was an ordained United Methodist minister who was at that time probably the best expert in church growth, church administration, and analyzing a community to see what the churches could do to try to help with the needs of that community. Probably nobody in the country was better than Lyle than doing that. We went to that conference. It was the best conference that I have ever attended in all of my days in the ministry, except for 1 hour that happened on the third day of the conference. On the third day at 5 o'clock in the morning, the fire alarm started going off in the hotel that we were staying in. I'd never been in a hotel where a fire alarm went off, so I went to the door and opened the door to see what was going on. I smelled a little smoke at that point, ran back in, put on a pair of gym shorts and a t-shirt and my tennis shoes and ran outside, met all of my team out there who had also just gotten there. Soon as we went out, the fire trucks were pulling in. Sure enough, there was a small fire in the kitchen. Within about an hour, they had the fire under control. We were going back into our rooms. And take my word for this, we were ready to go back to our rooms because all of our group, everybody that went there from Virginia, was standing outside. We were all wearing gym shorts and t-shirts. And it was Chicago in October. It was about 45 degrees. We were about to die. All 15 of us were standing there and we were looking at each other and we realized we were fully prepared to evacuate a hotel in case of a fire, even in October, if that conference had been held in Miami. But we didn't plan on what we needed for Chicago. It was cold and we were outside and we were freezing and we wanted to go back in. And when we could, we were extremely happy. And we were even more happy when we realized that the entire hotel staff was standing over to the side pointing at us and laughing at us because none of us were ready for what we had to deal with that day. That event taught me a valuable lesson. From then on, no matter where I have gone or what the situation, when I go into a hotel, I always find the nearest fire exit. I count the doors between my room and that one in case you have to go out if there's smoke. And then I make sure I always have the kind of clothes that I need to be able to deal not only with what's inside, but what's outside and what we're going to be able to do with that. What's the point of the story? Well, the point is, generally speaking, we Americans are pretty good at planning for disaster. Sometimes we mess up on that, but for the most part, we're pretty good at getting ready for those kind of things. But are we as good at planning for the blessings that can come our way? All 15 of us who went to that conference that day, we all prepared to evacuate the hotel. We had all the clothes that we needed to get out of that hotel in a hurry, but none of us planned for the blessing of safety. We were safe because we were outside, but we were miserable because we were outside and we didn't plan for what we were going to be dealing with. We were not planning at all for the cold temperatures we had to face that day. And interestingly enough, this is exactly what our scripture is talking about that we're looking at today. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 young bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, five of them were wise, but five of them were foolish. The foolish ones took their lamps, but didn't bring oil for them. But the wise ones took their lamps, and they brought containers of oil. When the groom was late arriving, they all became drowsy and went to sleep. But at midnight, there was a cry, "Look, the groom is coming. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. But the foolish bridesmaids said to the wise ones, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps have gone out." But the wise bridesmaids replied, "No, if we share with you, there won't be enough for our lamps and yours. You should go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were gone to buy the oil, the groom came. And those who were ready went into the wedding with the groom, and then the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came and said, "Lord, open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, be prepared, for you don't know the day or the hour." Matthew 25 is an interesting passage of scripture because what Jesus is actually doing here in this parable is he's trying to teach us the importance of being prepared for one thing, and that's a celebration with God. a relationship with God? Are we prepared for a celebration of life with Jesus Christ? Are we planning for gloom and doom? Or are we planning for the good things that can come our way? Today we're looking, we're kicking off a new sermon series that's called Our Best Life Now. And what I want us to focus on is a question. What parts of our lives do we need to prepare if we're going to have the joyful and productive relationship with Jesus that He wants us to have? And I'm using this scripture this morning as the intro to this series because I believe God wants our individual lives and the life of our church to be a celebration of joy. But if we want to experience that gift, we have to be prepared for the celebration. But unfortunately, the way this passage is usually interpreted doesn't take you to that celebration. I've been in the pastoral ministry for 46 years, which means I'm a fossil. But in 46 years, I've only heard this passage of Scripture interpreted properly a couple of times. Why is that? Well, I think it's because the minute we read it, we migrate to the negative side of the Scripture because that's human nature. People respond better to gloom and doom than we do to joy. I'm not sure why, but we do. In the last 2 years, we've had a number of families that have left our church for a number of reasons. We required masks. We didn't require masks. We started in-person worship. We shouldn't have started in-person worship. We required children to wear masks. We didn't require children to wear masks. We let people decide where they were going to sit in worship. We shouldn't have let people decide where they were going to sit in worship. We didn't reject people that some people wanted us to reject, or we were accused of rejecting people that some thought we had rejected, but we hadn't. At our 170th anniversary just a few weeks ago, David Washburn talked about how he had heard pastors all over the state say that it didn't matter what they did in the last 3 years, somebody thought it was the wrong thing to do. Believe me, our church staff knows exactly how that feels. That's happened to us over and over, and we've lost some people because of it. But what's fascinated me about that is the fact that some of those people who have left our church that tries to paint a very positive message of church life and faith, and they've gone to churches that almost constantly preach doom and gloom. I'm not sure how you get from one of those to the other, but it seems to have happened. Those churches define themselves by what they're against instead of who they're for. And that fits right in with the fact that some of the fastest growing churches in America are also some of the most negative. They focus on negative things. They focus on the things they're afraid of. Christians love to talk about conspiracy theories or spiritual warfare, the end times or the final judgment or the great apocalypse or the battle of Armageddon. Somebody came to me not 2 months ago and they asked me how often I preach on the second coming of Jesus. And they almost had a stroke when I said, I don't ever preach on it. And they asked me why, and I said, well, to start with, I don't know much about it, and no other preacher does either. If Jesus didn't know the day or the hour of the coming, then certainly I'm not going to, and neither is a preacher in Texas or anywhere else. The second reason that I do it is because it doesn't matter. Our job as Christians is not to sit and worry about the second coming. Our job is to tell people about the first coming of Jesus. We actually know a lot about the first coming of Jesus, and the first coming of Jesus has changed the world, and it can change individual lives until this day. We don't need to focus on what we don't know. We need to focus and proclaim what we do know, and that's that Jesus Christ is Lord and that His loving grace changes things and it changes people and it can change others if we can talk to them about it. Our job is to convince people of the first coming of Jesus because that coming makes all the difference in the world. But for some reason, that's not what people want to hear. So when preachers read this passage of Scripture, they usually start preaching on the second coming because, as William Randolph Hearst once said, disaster sells newspapers. But that's not what this passage is about. This passage is not about Judgment Day. It's about being prepared for a relationship with Jesus. These five foolish bridesmaids aren't foolish because they were evil. They were foolish because they didn't plan ahead for the good things that God wanted to give them and that He wanted to do through them for two people who needed them. These women were not wicked, and they weren't just self-absorbed or mean-spirited. The problem was that they weren't focused on the ultimate blessing. All 10 of these bridesmaids had been invited to be bridesmaids by the groom. The bride didn't pick her bridesmaids back in that day. The groom did that as a gift to the bride. All 10 of these bridesmaids had been invited to the wedding by the groom, and their mission was to look forward and be ready to celebrate. In the first century, a wedding was a grand event. Not a lot of families could afford to have them, but if they did have a wedding, it became a week-long event, and it was quite a celebration. And the village would turn out in droves to congratulate the bride and groom on their big day and on the life that they had before them. Most of the time, the wedding party would take the longest route that they could to get to the house where they were going to have their wedding. And people would come out and they would line the streets to celebrate with the bride and groom, which meant sometimes it took hours for them to make their journey and finally get back to their house. The bridesmaids went to the house ahead of the bride and groom because they were supposed to get everything ready for the wedding ceremony and for the week-long party that was going to be coming after it. It was also their job to have their lamplights ready because if the bride and groom got there after dark, they needed someone to come out and meet them and light their way where they wouldn't stumble and fall through the streets as they were going. It was a huge honor to be asked to be a bridesmaid in that day and time because it meant that you were trusted to do a good job in getting ready for the bride that was to come. And it meant that you were trusted to bring out the lamps and be ready to light the way to the house so the people could get there safely. If you were a bridesmaid, you got to be part of that entire week's party and everything that came with it. You got to eat all of the good food and drink the very best wine, but it was a huge dishonor if you didn't do your part to prepare for the celebration. And it was an even bigger dishonor if you didn't have the lamps ready to light the way for the bride and groom, because it said that you just really didn't care enough to be ready to keep them safe on their journey as they were trying to get to their house. This groom had handpicked these bridesmaids because he trusted them to be prepared. And five of them were ready, but five of them weren't. Five of them didn't have their oil lamps ready. They failed to prepare for the most important part of the last leg of this journey to the wedding house. And what you need to realize is that when the bride and groom came to the wedding, everybody who was there was invited into the wedding. Once they got inside, the doors and the gates were closed and they were locked. Nobody else was allowed to attend the wedding itself. Five of the bridesmaids were ready. They got to the party. Five of the bridesmaids weren't prepared. They didn't have the oil that they needed for their lamps. They tried to go borrow some and they couldn't. And so they missed out on the biggest party, the biggest celebration that they were ever going to get to be part of at all. What's the point? The point is, if you want your best life now, you need to prepare for the best blessing that the world is ever going to bring you. And there are some things that you just can't put off if you want to enjoy God's blessing. Back probably 35 years ago now, there was a man who lived maybe a mile from our church when I lived in North Carolina, and the man never attended church at all for many, many years. He hadn't gone to church since he was a little boy. If you invited him to church, he wasn't rude about it, but he would just always say, "Thanks, but I'm fine. I don't need that." 7 years after I went there to be the pastor of that church, Philip was diagnosed with lung cancer. And when he was, Philip started coming to the church with his wife on Sunday, and the church could not have been more supportive of that man. They took food to his family. The men took turns driving him to his doctor's appointment so his wife wouldn't have to miss her job. Some of the men came to his house and fixed a problem that was happening with his house that started after he got sick. Philip only got to come to church for 7 months before he left to go to be with the Lord, but he loved the music, he loved the messages, he loved the Bible studies, and he loved the people. The people loved him, and within just a few weeks of his diagnosis, Philip gave his life to Jesus Christ. He was baptized as a believer. About a week before Philip died, I went to visit Philip. When I did, he said, "I want to thank you and the church for all you've done for me." He said, "You've been a real blessing to my life, and I just can't believe how stupid I've been all of these years. I could have been enjoying the blessings of Jesus all my life, but I didn't because I put off being part of the blessing that was right down the road all the time." If you want to be part of the blessings of God, you have to prepare for it. You have to want to be part of it. And the way that you do that is by accepting the invitation to come to the party when Jesus offers it to us. Some things are too good to put off in life, and some things can't be borrowed. Those bridesmaids couldn't borrow the oil that they needed that night. If they wanted to be part of shining the light, they had to produce the light themselves. You can't borrow a relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of people think that because they went to church when they were growing up and because grandma and grandpa or mama and daddy had faith that they have faith because they believed in those things that they believed in back there. But a borrowed faith is no faith at all. The only faith that's real is the faith that we have in our hearts, that we give ourselves to, that we want to become part of, and that we want to be a part of that blessing that God not only wants to share with us, but he wants us to share with others by shining our light to the world. A half-serious faith is nothing. But true faith is the kind of faith that makes room for Jesus, that prepares our hearts for what we are going to need to give, and then goes into the world to do the best that it knows how to give it. The celebration that those bridesmaids were invited to was God's kingdom. It was God's party, and their mission, the only mission they had, was to prepare to enjoy it and then to shine the light of God's celebration to the world. Some of them got it. Some of them didn't. And the ones that didn't missed out on the best blessing that anyone can ever experience. Jesus has invited us to be part of the celebration. He wants us to have our best life now. Will we be willing to say yes to the invitation? And then will we be prepared to become all that he has dreamed of us being? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for an opportunity to be with you. I thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together as the people of God. I thank you that you have come to us with an invitation for something wonderful and something special. I thank you that you have come to us giving us the opportunity to share the story of that first coming that reshaped humankind as we know it and that can reshape every human life that will be part of it. Lord, give us the courage to say yes to you today. Give us the courage to not just say yes, but to be willing to prepare our hearts to be the best party goers and party givers that we can be. Help us to be prepared to shine the light of your love to the world. So many people come to that first step and they're willing to be baptized and then they never make a step after it. Help us, Lord, to want to do both. Help us to be willing to say, "Lord Jesus, I love you because you loved me first. Come and live in my heart and make me the person that you want me to be.
and then help me to grow in the faith and prepare my heart to be a minister to the world in your name, because what we do matters, and what we offer changes everything. Make it so today, Lord Jesus, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There have been times when I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. I've been to a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. There have been times I felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, in those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I wouldn't know what my faith in His Word could do. And through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. Yeah. Yes, I've learned to depend upon His Word through it all.
You've come here today and you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you've chosen to do that right where you're sitting, come and let us know that. If you want to do that and you don't know how, come and we'll help you with that. If you want to join our church and be part of our mission, we would love to have you. If you'll come, we'll help you with that as well. And as the service comes to a close, but we pray that when you leave this place, we'll go into the world and be willing to shine the light that we know, because that light can make a big difference, and that's what we're trying to do day in and day out. I forgot to make an announcement right at the beginning of the service, remind everyone of our food drive that we are doing for the Interfaith Food Pantry in the Montgomery County Christmas Store. This past week, we had an anonymous donor come forward who said that they would match every gift that the church gave up to $5,000 or 5,000 food items. And so everything that we give this year is going to be doubled, and we hope that you will help us to reach our goal of 5,000 food items or $5,000, and we can make that 10,000 for both of these groups. Thank you for your help and for your support, and thank you for the love that I know you will show the world as we leave this place. Now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everyone.